morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Whatever time you're listening to this, I'm glad you are. Welcome to the podcast. You are tuning into another episode of Tree Fort Gang. You got Joe Johnson here in the studio, of course, joined by two elite crew members.
Royal Mills.
And Stevie P. Good to be back. Love being here.
Love being here too. You know, Phil had he had to do some negotiation for the Tree Fort Gang, so he's behind the scenes doing some business. He wasn't able to join the episode today, so we're gonna let the kids play without dad.
Yeah. Rumor has it he's in a room with Riley Reed and Dana White, so yeah. We'll see who comes out victorious from that meeting.
God knows. A lot of fluids in that room.
Definitely not his shorts, we'll say that much.
With Dana White. I mean, that's just an interesting twist. He's in the chair. They're wrestling.
Yeah, he said, ghost grab my dick.
Spooky.
So, I mean, I know we're laughing, but if we are going to announce what we're going to be talking about here a little bit, it's not really a laughing matter, I guess. We're going to be talking about 9/11 today, guys. I'm just going to say it. 9/11, 2001, happening in 9/11, 2024.
Yeah, it was a huge turning point for a lot of people. You know, majority of us were pretty young.
Oh, so it was an end point.
You and I, Joe John, we were...
Oh, that was a great joke.
You know, we were barely walking at that point, but Grandpa Royal Mills over here, he said he was very cognizant. He was, you know, fully loaded in the frontal cortex, so he can tell us a lot about his experience on that day. I'd love to start off on that note.
I think I was just the only one that was old enough to remember what happened, to be honest with
you. Yeah, maybe we'll get Phil to chirp to see if we can. Well, no, actually, this is going up tomorrow, so no, Phil. Never mind. Bye, Phil.
Yeah.
Bye, Phil. We should
have time to add in his like immediate
Photoshop him in.
Basically. Stick him in. Well, last year we called Rosemary, shout out Rose, on one of the episodes and had her tune into something just via the phone while we were recording. But yeah, we're going to talk 9/11. We thought about making this a conspiracy episode. As you guys can see, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, it is 9/11. So we were thinking about doing that. We did just kind of want to, I guess, get together and just talk about it a little bit and just banter, about 9/11. Again, we've pretty much set our ages, so we're not going to have super intimate, you know, detailed accounts of where we were those days, but, you know, something fun to talk about, maybe.
Yeah. Do you remember about that day other than, you know, a plane hit the tower?
Well, is that
you said you were in first grade. Oh, this is my Vicks tube.
I thought you were just doing a straight smell and salt, getting hyped up.
He said I'm just ready to eat some face.
Looks like a tampon.
It kind of does look like a tampon. Now that you say that, yeah.
You try going in the room with Dana White, Riley Reed, and Phil Bowden.
Oh, I'd be freaking ready to go. I'm going to start with Dana White's ass and move my way up the ladder. But you said, so you were in first grade, right?
I believe
that day,
because I think I started school in kindergarten. Well, obviously, but I think that was 2000. So it would have been, 2001. I'd be in first grade. I don't remember a ton about it, like in school. I'm pretty sure we got sent home, though. That's what I said when we were talking about it the other week. And maybe it was Phil or one of you guys said that you weren't sent home and you just kind of continued school. I feel like I distinctly remember them packing it up and sending us home, and they're like, you know what, guys, today is kind of a wash. We'll see.
Yeah, it's because you guys are babies and you were in the class that George was reading the book to when the plane hit the towers.
I wish, dude, that would have been crazy. I'd probably
imagine
very intimately that was the case. Where was he on 9/11? Can we confirm that he was not at all responsible for what happened?
We cannot confirm. And for the FBI agent listening to this episode,
I was gonna say
bring a warrant.
We were going to talk about conspiracy a lot, but it was an inside job. I think we can all agree on that.
yeah.
I think still don't understand that whole like theory behind it, which
I don't know. I'm tied to this, and this is what Phil wanted me to talk about. Like, I, for some reason, so here's what happened. I had like a iPod Touch, like third generation, just Wi-Fi. And I didn't have Wi-Fi at my house, so I used to like sit in the corner of my house, record like downloading stuff with my neighbor's Wi-Fi, like LimeWire.
Yeah, LimeWire.
Until we finally got Wi-Fi in our house. This is like, I don't know, eighth grade. You know, still younger than Mark was when 9/11 happened. But to download, no, maybe it was high school. I don't exactly remember when the first iPod Touch came out.
Can we just say LimeWire had the greatest intro for any download ever?
Oh, I don't remember what it was.
Just Quentin going, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman."
Oh, I don't remember that.
And then whatever you downloaded would start playing after that.
I used to download so much off LimeWire. I definitely bricked up like our family computer when we finally got internet, and it was just the one computer.
Oh yeah.
But no, on my iPod Touch, I was trying to just download movies and stuff to watch when I was in bed, like going to sleep, whatever, because I was just so infatuated with having an iPod. Now I'm an iPad kid, so I get the iPad in front of me before I go to bed. But I went to download, I think it was Transformers 3. Was Shia LaBeouf in Transformers 3?
No, I think that was Mark Wahlberg.
Last one right before Mark Wahlberg. Like, and I saw that one on Netflix.
Maybe he was, yeah.
But either way, I go to download the Transformers movie. I want to watch it on my iPod. It's like, you know, midnight, whatever. I'm in my room as like a teenager. So I'm like, all right, I can pull up
on that too much planet,
and it's a 9/11 conspiracy documentary.
Ooh.
And I just, you know, I sat there and I watched it. I'm like 13, 14 at the time. A couple hours later, like 4 a.m., I'm sitting there. I'm like, Bush did that shit, bro. That is crazy.
Yeah, I fully agree. And a lot of people, they can get kind of upset if they have a very personal, you know, relationship with 9/11. But when, at least for me, when I talk about the conspiracy theories surrounding 9/11, I don't chalk it all up to a hoax, right? I do believe, you know, the people actually died. I believe 99.9% of them were innocent people that, you know, shouldn't have died at all. That being said, I do still believe that, you know, the U.S. government, one of the three-letter acronym agencies were behind it through and through. It just doesn't make sense how this is my thing. Like a plane crashes in. Okay. It's hot enough to melt steel, but you're telling me that the person driving had a passport in their pocket and that happened to survive that whole thing?
Yeah.
A steel bar supporting the entire building. No, but that paper passport in the pilot's pocket. Yes, that survives. Hard no on that one for me.
No matter what happened, that's probably at some level there was like a cleanup job happening. I don't actually think it's like a grandiose conspiracy. If you want to know my real opinion, I think it's mostly it was like obviously an evil plot, but happened due to like the complacency of the federal agencies and their inability to want to work together because they both wanted to have the bigger balls.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it. I do. I'm also a big, I'm big on Occam's razor, however you want to say it, where, you know, this most simplistic answer is usually the one, you know, you don't have to put too much thought into it. I think you're right that there was a lot of, just screw ups through and through, a lot of, just turning the cheek.
It might have been 3 years ago now. Time is so messed up. But I remember that it was like a big deal. Netflix had like a documentary come out like within the last, it was either 2 or 3 years ago. So it was either like the 20 year anniversary thing or, you know, maybe 21 year anniversary. But they put out like a big documentary. I remember everyone was buzzing about it for like a couple of weeks. I think it was right before Squid Game came out. So that would have been 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when that was all the rage. So that was probably when I was my most like actually studied on it, besides when I was 14 watching a conspiracy theory that I thought was Transformers. I was certainly
what a pleasant surprise, though.
I know. I mean, I sat there and I watched it. I was convinced. And then
could you imagine if somebody made that and the whole thing was just a giant Rick Roll and you were like so bought in on it?
Dude, that used to happen a lot more often.
Mark, what are your thoughts on it? I know you were a bit older when it all took place. Like from that moment to now, like do you buy any of the the U.S. is behind it talk, or are you one of the people that are like, no, you know, that's all BS?
I'm gonna shoot you real straight on this. I am a very non-political person and also very disconnected from all that kind of stuff. So for me, when it all went down, it was just kind of like, mind you, these were different times than now, because I feel like now times are way more sensitive of how they handle things compared to back when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It, to me, it was just like kind of like numbing, like, okay, like why did that just happen and what the hell is going on? And I'm just sitting there like just thinking like I don't understand any of this, it makes zero sense. And then like all of a sudden the other one hits it, and then it's just like hello, like what did I miss? Like I don't understand any of this. And they made us continue the rest of the day of school, and we were just kind of like just expected to be kind of, I don't know, just continue on business as usual. It's very odd.
I feel like I very much remember being sent home, because I feel like I remember like getting home and seeing my mom like freaking out over it.
Yeah, my mom picked me up. School wasn't closed, but my mom's got crazy paranoia. So she was like, a plane hit the World Trade Center.
You're in
hell. All right. The next target's probably my son's high school in New Hampshire. gotta get him out.
Elementary school.
But, you know, it was, I feel like, especially if I was older, I feel like it would be traumatizing in a way. Mills, Royal Mills, you said that it was numbing. I feel like that's a good word for it, because you're just, especially, you know, back then there wasn't social media, right? So news didn't spread as rapidly. It's not like wildfire like it is today. One thing happens, then the whole world sees it within a few minutes. Like back then, like, you know, the only source of,
if you didn't like sit and watch the news, you didn't know until the next
day. Exactly.
We watched it on, I remember those old box CRT TVs that they had those wall mounts for.
We're
watching it on that in study hall.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I feel like the thoughts in my mind would be like, oh my God, we're about to go to war or something, you know, like is war already being brought to U.S. soil kind of thing? And what the hell caused this? Like, why?
And then, why I don't know if happening? You guys remember too, but like right after that happened, then all of a sudden like anthrax became a big scare too.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah. It was like, don't open any mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, I don't know if it, a lot of people I hear theorize that it's like fear mongering and stuff like that. But to me, I don't know.
Aspect of it. Like a lot of it comes from like a genuine place too. Just out of concern, but yeah, things just, especially in times of uncertainty, can get,
it gets exacerbated.
We didn't live through anything.
Sure.
I mean, we obviously lived through that, but we saw like, you know, how everything was hyper reactive, like when COVID was happening 4 years ago. So everything was to an extreme.
Back then it was like,
and obviously very different things, but like on that day, everything, you know, every direction as extreme as possible.
Yeah.
Back then it was like, you almost seen all of it, or all the crazy stuff go down in that time frame, you know, Y2K and all the other stuff, like, you know, Desert Storm and all that kind of things. And it, at that time you were just so used to all that stuff going on that it was just like, whoa, what's next? Like what else is going on now?
Yeah, if I recall right too, I remember Bush being pretty heavily criticized for kind of like disappearing for a few days when it first happened too. Obviously, I feel like that's more of an adult thing, but I feel like in a time of uncertainty, if we were getting like nothing from the president, that's a little scary.
Yeah, I agree. You know, at that point in time, you expect the one person who has a hand in the world
to say something,
you know, relations with other countries, all that, you know, you would expect them to take, you know, center stage and kind of give someone a voice.
I think it was like a few days later, but I this is all from memory. So off, you know, don't
downstairs.
But I do think when he finally said something, he had like a pretty like hard and official statement. Yeah. George Bush has some great quotes. My favorite is the "now watch this drive." But I feel like that was a couple years later in like 2004.
Yeah, I remember that quote. And he crushed it too. He crushed it.
He did, I know. Good golfer. Good painter too. Just does his weird paintings now. But
sorry, yeah. I was yelling at my spawn.
You're good. Yeah, so I mean that's kind of those are our experiences with 9/11. I was talking about 9/11 earlier just with Phil on the phone before we started trying to record, and he was getting heated even just thinking about the conspiracy part of it. He's like, I am angry. So we know he feels very passionately at least.
Yeah. I think it was a good rallying moment for America too, because for quite some time after that all happened, I remember having like the most patriotic feeling and like seeing people like, you know, cleaning up the rubble and looking for survivors and
no hate anywhere.
Yeah, dude, it was a very unifying experience where Americans weren't focused on the differences between each other. They were more focused on what was in their mind, the common enemy at the time.
Yeah.
Which was still kind of a question mark, I think, for the few weeks following 9/11.
Until Bin Laden went down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy behind it. I very much remember that speech when they got Osama. I was in high school at that point. I think I was in like 10th or 11th grade. I was like 2012. It was around Obama's lead. I think it was
2010 or 11. Yeah.
End of his first.
Because I think that was like right around my senior year.
Yeah, that would add up then.
I remember on LimeWire downloading videos of Saddam being hung. That was wild. I don't remember I came across it.
I don't think kids in school. I think they blew the door in and shot him. I don't know.
That was
you're talking about Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, Saddam Hussein is what I'm talking about. The one he was tried and executed.
Yeah, I kind of got
by hanging.
Learned a little bit about that from like the recreation they did in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the original one. They had like a similar thing going on in the
beginning. Yeah.
And I was like, what is this based off of?
Like Makarov?
Not, way before Makarov, but yes.
I just remember kids in school talking about that. Dude, have you seen the video of that guy getting hung? That's crazy. And
oh, really? No, I didn't.
You know, for that. It was early, because that was like middle school, I think. Like early, you know, hormonal changes from puberty. I'm just like, yeah, I want to see someone die.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about
immediate regret.
Those gore websites that used to be like super popular. I feel like in the early 2010s was when they had their peak, but it was probably even worse when I was a kid and just didn't know. But like best gore,
Yeah.
I hated, there were so many guys I knew that would go on those sites and just watch awful videos. I could never understand it.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, the whole 9/11 situation did kind of open America's eyes down the road to our hand in world affairs. You know, like they're like, okay, well, like what caused this to happen? And then you start seeing reports about, you know, shady operations or, you know, some type of imperialistic mindset that the American government may have had, and people start asking more questions and more questions about it. And that kind of got us to where we are today, where it's like, you know, let's focus more on home instead of doing things in other countries that you know, impact that country negatively in any capacity.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say was, like, I was going to go back to talking about how, like, everyone, you know, a unifying moment where everyone was really showing their patriotism. In a lot of ways, that's where they also, the government also put a lot of, like, surveillance stuff and, like, a lot of extra steps. Like, that's where the TSA came from. That's why flying sucked now.
Yeah, that's why they can see my dick every time I want to get on a plane.
Like, the Patriot Act. And then what came out with, what was it, Snowden, all those years later, about all the stuff that they were just recording for everybody's, like, daily conversation.
Yeah, dude. They could just tap
in
at any time.
There was a ton of fallout in, like, a bunch of different areas when you think about it like that. I mean, the war in Afghanistan went on until a couple of years ago. And that's still, I mean, I'm not the most studied up person on it, but still an ongoing situation out there, especially ever since we left. So that was a 20-year war that we all basically, I think we were all basically numb to at some point, because it just was something we all grew up with just having.
Yeah, it was just there.
Yeah, it was just a reality of life.
It's like, yeah, what else is new? Okay.
You know, and I was fortunate enough not to have anybody super close to me end up, like, stationed over there or deployed in any capacity. I do know people now that were, but I didn't know them at the time. But yeah, just, I mean, so much changed from just, you know, what happened that day. And it could have been a lot worse, right? Like, there was the one plane that the civilians more or less took back and crashed in a field in PA somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. I don't think that there was, like, major casualties from that. That's one of the ones when I was watching the conspiracy stuff, not to, you know, not to bounce around between serious and lighthearted too much. But the one in the Pentagon was the one where they had, like, the most questions, because just watching the video of it, you know, it just kind of disappears as soon as it makes contact.
Yeah. And it's like, what? Where did it go?
And I think this is my mom, just, you know, mom's tale. But I remember her telling me that we had, like, a cousin or something that worked on in the Pentagon, but they called out sick that day. But I don't know my mom's story, so I wouldn't
right.
That 100%. But, you know, if so, you know, great day to call in sick.
Things happen, you know, the way they're supposed to. I know people that were supposed to be in New York City that day. There's, like, school tours that were supposed to go through the World Trade Center, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I still, you'll see stories about it even now about, yeah, people that called out. I do remember seeing one kind of recently about a guy, and this is going to, you know, be another tone shift. But it was a story about how they got to, like, watch, I don't know if there was a husband or a dad or whoever, but they got to watch the sequence of emotions from, like, him seeing the tower being hit to him being, like, grateful and happy that he's not there, to then realizing everybody that he knows and everybody that he works with is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say one of the most traumatizing clips I watch of 9/11 was seeing people jumping out of the windows and stuff.
Yeah, that'll always, like, mess me up.
It's because it's like, I can't imagine being in that mind space where it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna die, might as well choose how, you know. They're like, all right, I'll choose free floating for 30 seconds until I hit the ground instead of waiting for the tower to come down on top of me.
I don't like thinking about my mortality at all, let alone, you know, being faced with that type of a reality, and just, you know, makes my problems feel a lot smaller by comparison, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't, those videos are tough. I will say, you know, hand up, guilty. If I do see a video of the plane crashing, I will watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Explosion. I mean, it happened. Explosions are kind of cool to watch. Yeah, I don't like any gore. I will say I've watched a couple plane crash compilations. I don't know if I'm telling on myself here, and I shouldn't, but you know, I can kind of detach myself and say that those are drones.
Right.
And those are cool.
Doesn't seem real when you're watching it over video.
Yeah. There was a video recently of a guy recording from a phone in a plane that crashed.
I saw that.
Yeah,
it was like in India or something.
That's a tough one. Yeah. Because it just stops and everyone's just quiet.
Yeah, because you kind of get that God's eye perspective inside of a crashing plane. It's you know,
black box POV, basically.
No, just dead silence after two with the crackling of the flames.
You're talking about the one from inside the plane, right? Where the guy
was where it's just like selfie recording out the window.
Yeah, there's that one. I think that was in South America, but then there was also in South America a couple months ago, a plane. I don't think there's any videos inside of it, but this is
the one that was just like free falling down.
Well, it was just and just like spiraling out of the air because it just completely stalled.
Man, where are you guys watching this stuff? I haven't seen any of this.
Just online. I don't know.
Yeah, Twitter.
You're on Twitter. So you'll probably get it in a couple more months.
It's on that Internet Explorer.
We're also on Facebook, by the way, guys. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're a little all over the place today, but go ahead and follow.
If you want to listen a week later than when we drop, listen to it on Facebook.
Yeah,
pull it up, that dial-up internet.
Now, Facebook is our main hub, so go follow us on there for all things Tree Fort Gang, and go follow us on Instagram if you want to see some funny memes that I've been sharing every day.
Definitely do that. Like, share, listen to some previous episodes. You think might
We got like a pickle. Almost this might be episode 50 total. So we got we got a major gap. We have days worth of content to go back and listen to, literally at least 2 days worth of content to go back and listen to. So do that, because that would be pretty cool of you. And if you need any golf equipment, I do still think we have the affiliate code with Shank It Golf. Was that just Tree Fort Gang, Royal?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tree Fort
Gang. One word.
One word at shankitgolf.com. That would be nice if you guys use that, get some golf swag, and you know, help the podcast out, because we're trying to grow this.
15% off.
15% off. That's a good deal. And the stuff on there,
a great deal.
Good deal. Anyway, as like, just by itself, I liked a couple of the shirts that were on there, and you said you bought some accessories, right?
Yeah, I really like the glove and the hat, so I'm pretty happy with my items.
Nice. Awesome.
Yep. Swagged out.
Well, yeah, if you guys do those things, we'd very much appreciate it. You guys have any other thoughts just on 9/11 in general?
I had one, but it just escaped my mind. I think with my fear of flying.
Yeah. I don't like flying. I don't fear it though, but you have a fear of flying?
I get so much anxiety. I have a control thing. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's the safest way to travel. It's like, okay, I get that, right? You're a lot more likely to get into a car accident, but there's like a 90% chance I survive whatever car accident I get into. There's a 100% chance I'm going to die if this plane crashes.
Yeah. And it's just like,
it's completely out of my control. I don't have any control at all whatsoever.
At least driving, you are in control to a degree. Like if you want to stop, you can stop. You're
exactly
right. If you're in a flight, you know, you're stuck on that flight until it's over. Unless
I'm putting my life in the hands of a pilot and some engineers on a 30-year-old plane.
And once you're up, I know. Yeah, and I know. I don't blame them. I don't blame the people. You know, but like Boeing, when I flew down here to Raleigh from before I moved down here in June, both flights, it was a Boeing 737 or 747, whichever the one.
You're extra scared.
Yeah. First off, I know these planes suck, so I'm going to have uncomfortable flight, but it's only 2 hours. But yeah, I was just worried that I wasn't going to make it.
It's a frightening way to go in my book.
Yeah, so, just the awareness of it all.
Yep. If I can drive, I'm driving. That's my thing. I don't care if it takes me 3 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I'll drive.
No marks like that. It's not so much that I fear flying. I just, you know, I hate the inconvenience of it all. And the lack of ability to, like, you know, stay on a schedule. Like if we get delayed, I'm just, you know, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yep. I completely agree. And I remember I was going to bring up the point where you mentioned the plane that got taken back by the passengers. That is the most badass American thing.
That's some real hero.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can't imagine being on that plane, like I can sit here and say, yeah, like I feel like I'd get mad and I'd want to do something and I'd take charge. But you never really know how you're going to react in a situation like that until you're there. And I can imagine the fear being absolutely paralyzing for most people.
I know. And so, then having like the courage and the ability to even fight back in the face of that fear. Cause like, obviously you're afraid of, you know, the captors, whatever you'd call them, but you're also again on a plane and they ultimately crash that plane.
Yeah, it's like you got a choice. You're going to go this way, you're going to go that way.
It's literally, if I'm going to go out, you know, going out fighting, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, hey, we hope that we would all act the same in that situation, probably, but who knows how many of us actually would.
Yeah, I feel like these days, especially, it's a lot easier to not take action for fear of repercussion or fear of, you know, there's fear in general. You're scared of something, so action is kind of put on the back burner. But to see action taken in a situation like that and have it be, I mean, you know, obviously the plane ended up crashing, but I believe I remember that they did make it to the cockpit to give themselves a chance. It was just a
little too late. Yeah, I think they were, as if I remember correct, I'm pretty sure that the civilians were the ones that, you know, had control of the plane when it crashed.
Yeah, they were trying to get it to steer back on course or something. But
either that or just I wish I watched that documentary sooner. I wish I watched it before we recorded this, but because I'm pretty sure that they just, you know, they knew that they were just, you know, we don't want to crash just anywhere. So there's a field right here. Let's just go down here. And
your charger's still intact for that iPod to watch it?
No, not the conspiracy one, the Netflix one that came out a couple years ago with, like, you know, an actual in-depth breakdown from like real vetted sources of what happened.
On a lighter note, I just thought of the Shane Gillis skit where he's on the plane that got hijacked.
Oh,
yeah. It's crashing, and he calls the garage or whatever, just to talk shit. Ass.
Dude, I don't want
to. Everyone's like, yeah, he's like, I don't want to talk to my wife and kids. Like, they'll see it on the news. It's fine. I want to fuck these dudes. And everyone's like, yeah, you know what? Yeah.
He's going to fuck somebody else this year.
I'm out of the loop on this one.
Yeah, dude.
You've never seen that skit?
It's such a good bit, but basically to ruin it, like, it's just a comedy skit where they're on the plane and the plane starts going down. So instead of like calling his wife and kids, he just starts calling like people just to like cuss him out. Cause he's like, I don't want to like talk to my wife and kids. They're going to fucking be nagging and screaming. I want to fucking get this out while there's no consequence. And then everyone's watching him like, what are you doing? But then they all start calling people and just talking shit while the plane's crashing.
Yeah. I saw that skit.
Yeah,
you and he's like, and then, fuck you, dude.
More people started calling.
Yeah. It starts with like him going back and forth with the flight attendant too, and then all of a sudden the plane starts crashing. But yeah, that's Gillian Keeves on YouTube. Shane's
funny
skit show.
I love that people can find levity and I guess you can just call it dark humor, right? Like people find the funny side of shitty situations. That's how I've always coped with stuff.
How long before after something like that happens? South Park talked about this. How long after something happens is it okay to make jokes about it? Is one of my question.
Pretty much the answer is when South Park decides to drop an episode about it.
my answer might be controversial. I think immediately.
Yeah, I was going to say immediately. I would say it depends on the environment.
But it's a risk. You have to be ready for it to not go well.
Like I said, like I cope with dark humor
a lot of people are similar. You got to read the room on that one.
Yeah, you have to be aware. But like, if you're in the right room with like in this, like if it was the three of us in a room and we weren't recording a podcast, you know, 9/12, I'm probably letting one loose.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like by environment, you gotta be able to see.
Yeah.
Is it fair game? Yeah, as soon as the event is over with, it's fair game.
Yeah, I'm sure we've all said it. Actually, I very vividly remember a time where it wasn't even a joke, but where Royal said something and it just did not land right. But we've all had those experiences where, you know, you say something and it's, you know, we didn't read the room right and it's not received very well.
Oof. Yep. Yeah, no, I remember that day.
All the
time,
that was
the longest
dude.
5 minutes of my life.
We'll I got to hear the story.
We'll have to talk about it off the record.
Off the record, for sure.
Deal. I'm excited to hear that one.
Awesome. Well, I don't mean to laugh too much in an episode like this, but it is, you know, it is something that happened a very long time ago. And, you know, we talked about it. A lot has happened because of that since then. But I do feel like we're at a time where it's culturally appropriate to crack these jokes. So hopefully they're taken in good favor.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say we're cracking jokes or anything. I'd say more just like bringing up the topic of it is more of a good way to describe it, I would say.
And that's kind of a history thing.
Mm-hmm. My uncle.
More than anything, it's the experiences we were going through when it all went down.
Yeah. What were you saying, my uncle?
He was a master chief in the Navy. And so I can guarantee you he's got stories surrounding this particular event that he can't even tell us for another 20 years.
I'm sure. I didn't know Master Chief was an actual position in the military. Mm-hmm. As soon as you just said that, in my head just dun, 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 the Halo theme song.
Oh. Yes, dude. Oh, I get bricked up when I hear that.
I miss
but
playing.
Yeah, him. So he was a Master Chief, and his good friend was his superior, Senior Master Chief, I believe. I'm excited to hear his war stories when he's able to tell them if he wants to, you know?
Yeah. A former coworker of mine, current coworker of Royal, is actually like in, you know, like military books for some of the courageous stuff that he did, overseas. And, you know, looking at him, you know, and his, what he does now, and then thinking about him in that position, it's crazy to me.
What does he do now?
Sell workers' compensation insurance.
I guess you could say he kind of did the same thing in a third world country, only the insurance was
I don't even want to try and like quote what he did, but you know, basically some hero shit, you know, got up on the gun a turret when everyone else was like either retreating or being gunned at, and he started covering everybody.
It's just, badass, dude.
I mean, yeah, literally just like when you like, yeah, like Tropic Thunder, fucking badass shit.
Hell yeah, dude. I want a beer with that guy. It's someone who just, you know, nuts up when the situation's tough. You got to respect it.
Yeah.
Shout out to our veterans.
Shout out, veterans.
Shout out to all those that we lost on that day and everything that happened after. Like I know we lost a lot of firefighters, first responders, from, I think like, was it like cancer and stuff that they ended up getting? People that were like cleaning up the rubble. The comedian, he like, that was what he always was when he was doing stuff in front of Congress. He was always being a big advocate for, you know, like government funding for those first responders, the firefighters and the people, because a lot of them got, I wish I could remember to do justice, but, you know, they all ended up very sick from whatever it was that they were breathing in when that all happened.
Well, I can imagine. I can imagine. I don't think I'd have the balls. I mean, if it was just me, I might. You know, I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's go help. Let's go clean up. But now that I got a family, I'd be like, I'm going to get my kids and my wife out of here.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like they were doing it like the day of, but over the next couple of months while they were cleaning up the area. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows what I would have done. You know, you run, do you run away? Or do you, I mean, with something like that, you'd be pretty stupid if you weren't there to run towards the situation. But, you know, people ran in there to help evacuate people.
There's no way in hell I could sit back and watch and not try to do something to help out there.
There's even stories about dogs that were like helping people get out. It's crazy.
America, baby.
America. Fuck you.
Yeah, that brings me to a point that I brought up in a previous episode. My buddy who was in the Navy said when he was in the China Sea and like the Chinese warships would get close or the fishing vessels would get close to his ship, you'd hear him over the radio going, "Oh, fuck you, America. Oh, fuck you, 9/11. Oh, fuck you."
Oh, yeah, you were telling us that.
And it's like, I mean, I don't know how I could like, I feel like you should get mad and defensive. Like, don't bring up 9/11, but it's like kind of like my immediate reaction was to laugh. Yeah.
I know. I would laugh and then I would, you know, respond with, you know, something back. That's like when they did the, I think this year, but they had the quote unquote portal in New York City that was connected to Dublin. It was basically just like a, you know, like a screen call. You know, you could
It was a FaceTime in Times Square.
But there's the video of like, it's somebody recording it in New York from the people like the put, in Dublin. And at first you see like, it's first just RIP Pop Smoke. And then they take the camera 9/11. And the phone down and somebody else puts the phone up and it's just a 9/11 picture. Like, that's funny.
Sorry. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's dark humor. It's dark humor. And if you're a very serious person, dark humor probably isn't for you.
I wonder if they put that back up. They took that portal down because there were girls that were flashing in it, but they said they were going to like try and bring it back, I thought.
Maybe. I made a 9/11 joke in my group chat recently because I mentioned some football news that was like 2 days old and I didn't realize it. And I guess they talked about it previously and they're like, "Oh, Corey's on that Internet Explorer time, you know, just super delayed." So I responded with, "Oh my God, a plane just hit the tower."
Yeah. That was the other thing that I talked about was, loving the TikToks where, you know, they basically compare doing something today versus doing it in 2001. And then the punchline is 9/11's happening. So they like midway through the bit, they're like, "Oh my God, a plane just hit the Twin Towers." If I find any of those, I'll put them on the Instagram story. So if you guys,
what would people do today? I feel like 90% of people around would just take out their phone and start recording it.
I'm gonna just post
for clout. Yep. Go live for clout.
I'll be honest with you, like, I feel weird even just talking about it now. Like, I don't know, it's a weird subject.
Yeah, I don't feel weird, but, you know, I'm just trying to give it the level of seriousness that it deserves while also, you know, being authentic.
Cracking a little jokey joke.
Having a little funny fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. It's just weird. I don't know.
It's also a big part of this is probably because, like we brought up before, Joe John and I were significantly younger than you.
Yeah.
When it happened. So it affected you in a completely different way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's almost like I'm still feeling the same feelings I was feeling back then when it like went down. It's just kind of like a numbness. Like whenever I think about it, just, I don't know. I kind of like lose space in my brain of thought, you know?
Trauma, fear.
Yeah, trauma. Or
anger. Confusion
more than anything,
because I still don't think it makes sense.
It doesn't to me. It really doesn't. But again, a lot of things that happen don't make sense, so
yeah,
we're all just kind of government, right? We're kind of bred to be thinking that everything should just be accepted the way it is and move on.
Yeah, just one of those things that you have zero control over the world around you, and sometimes you're very harshly reminded of that with extreme things like that.
Yep. And it's also, you know, part of me is like, it's a fear of like, what is my government getting me into? You know what I mean? Like, am I going to suffer repercussions for something my government did without us even knowing? You know what I mean? Because those people, that's exactly what happened to the people in the towers, right? They didn't do a fucking thing. but because their government is doing things in another part of the world that they probably had no idea about, caused a reaction that ended their life.
Yeah.
Whether inside job or not, they go hand in hand.
The victims had no part of it.
And it's fucked up.
Very.
Especially with a very heated election season coming up here. I told my wife, you know, because her family has property out in Switzerland. I was like, if shit, you know, starts feeling like a tinderbox, we're going to Switzerland.
There you go. It's good to have an out.
Yeah.
Need to get a
pass. Switzerland is true to its name, dude. It is. I'm staying the fuck out of everything. I'm just going to do me. They got more guns per capita than we do. They got less problems. It's a very homogenous society. They don't really take well to immigration. So I'll probably have a tough time getting a green card. Yeah,
all the blue-eyed blondies over there.
You know, but it's a very well-run government. It's very transparent. It's one of the most democratic government systems in the world. And I feel like I would feel a lot more comfortable with a family in that type of environment than the clown show that we're dealing with right now in America.
Yeah. We'll all be okay. We'll be all right. And if not,
America rallies. It always does.
That happens. I die. Not my problem.
See, the thing is, it's like, we're like that. America is like the, that one, I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but like that super team that's always fighting with each other, but you give them one reason to focus on something else, like you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine like the Southern states and all the gangs and everything like rallying together?
Game over. And that's what happened. I mean, that's what happened fucking versus with Drake versus Kendrick. I was really hoping Phil was going to be here today so I could talk shit about Kendrick getting the Super Bowl. But it's like the meme you see with like the Bloods and the Crips with the hand, the rag tied together. Every now and again, you'll get something like that. Usually it's not something good, unfortunately. But when you can kind of isolate, you know, the response and see people come together, it doesn't justify it or doesn't, you know, validate it in any way. But it's what silver linings are, you know, more or less. There's always good to see in situations like that. Especially when you have the privilege of hindsight and you can see how everything played out. Again, a lot of stuff. Very bad came from it, but a lot of good stuff as well.
Yeah. Now I get a little mini hand job every time I go through TSA.
Yeah, that's always my hope. You know, I guess they can allegedly see how large you are when you do the.
Yeah, they can. You gotta look at the guy at the computer and give him a wink.
I always give it a little slap right ahead of him. That way they can find it.
Little swingage.
Yeah, as the thing swings up, I match the frequency of the scanner. Flying does suck, though. I think we can all agree about that. Flying sucks.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Yeah, I hate all the airlines. They're all terrible. Any other thoughts on 9/11?
No, I'm stuck in PTSD land on it.
Yeah, I can tell. I see you.
Yeah, like, I feel like we should pivot to a brighter subject, which listeners can hear on Thursday.
Yeah, we can swap into that. So if you're listening to this episode the day it came out, it was recorded the night before for 9/11, you know, 9/11 special. Woo! don't know how we want to market that, but... Yeah, if you're listening to this on 9/11, shout out.
I had some dark humor lined up right there, but I'll refrain.
I was going to say, feel free to get it out. I feel like I cracked a really good joke in the beginning of this that what we didn't laugh at, and I hope I can hear it in hindsight or when I listen back to it. But yeah, that's 9/11. So we're gonna do a little promo here. Tomorrow you're gonna hear an episode about Bigfoot. We're doing one of our conspiracy podcast. So we're just going to be, I know we kind of talked a little bit conspiracy about 9/11, but this is kind of mostly just conspiracy focused on, you know, fun things like Bigfoot. So go ahead and listen to that tomorrow, or if it's not 9/11 when you're listening to this, it's already out. So go ahead and listen to that one next. Remember, there's about 50 other of those son of bitch episodes in there as well. Listen to something, please. So, guys, as always, I want to thank our esteemed residents of the Tree Fort, Royal Mills and Stevie P. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Later.
Cheers.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Aaron Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.